The first scripture today is taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Listen for the word of the Lord. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son or your daughter, your male or your female slave, your livestock, or your alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. The next scripture is taken from Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male or female slave or your ox or your donkey or any of your livestock or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
And from 1 Corinthians, we have the oldest words of Jesus as Paul heard them in the first century, probably 25 to 30 years after Jesus' death. We know that in the verses preceding these, they had been messing around and not doing it the right way, meaning those who were wealthier got there first and they had the meal. And those who had to work all day got there and there wasn't very many good things left to eat. He says, you're doing it wrong. All of you have to be eating the same meal. So let's simplify it. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And of course, they thought he was coming in the next few years. And that didn't happen. But we listen to the word of God, of the scripture. It is good to be with you and meet some of you that I've known for a little while. I start with a parable. There once was a small boy named Wilfred Gordon MacDonald Partridge. And he lived next door to an older people's home. There he knew the people and he enjoyed being with them. He liked Mrs. Jordan, who played the organ. He listened to Mr. Hoskins, who told scary stories. He played with Mr. Tippett, who was bonkers about baseball. He ran errands for Miss Mitchell, who walked with a wooden stick. He admired Mr. Drysdale, who had a voice like a giant. But his favorite person of all was Miss Nancy Allison Delacourt Cooper, because she had four names, just like he did. He called her Miss Nancy and told her all his secrets. One day, Wilfred Gordon heard his parents talking, poor old thing, about Miss Nancy. Why is she a poor old thing? Well, because she's lost her memory, said his father. And it isn't surprising, said his mother. She's 96 now. Well, what's a memory? Asked Wilford. Well, it's something you remember. But Wilford Gordon wanted to know more than that. So he went over and called on his new friends. He called on Mrs. Jordan, who played the organ. What's a memory? Oh, it's something warm, my child. Something warm. He called on Mr. Hosking, who told the scary stories. What's a memory? Something from long, long ago. Something from long ago, my son. He asked Mr. Tippett, who was bonkers about baseball, what's a memory? Something that makes you cry, my son. Something that makes you cry. When Wilford asked Miss Mitchell, who walked with a wooden stick, what a memory is, she said, something that makes you laugh, my son. Something that makes you laugh. Mr. Drysdale told him with his voice like a giant that a memory is something as precious as gold. Precious as gold. So Wilford Gordon went home again to look for memories from Miss Nancy. He looked for the shoebox of shells he had found long, long ago, last summer, and put them gently in a basket. He found the puppet on a string that always makes people laugh and put them in the basket too. He remembered with sadness the medal which his grandfather had given him, and he placed it gently in the basket with the shells. Next he found his baseball, which was precious as gold. And last of all, as he went to see Miss Nancy, he went into the hen house and took a warm egg from under one of the hens. Then Wilford Gordon called on Miss Nancy and gave her each thing, one by one. What a dear, strange child to be giving me all these good, thoughtful things. They're wonderful. Then she started to remember. She held the warm egg and told Wilford Gordon of the spotted blue eggs that she had seen in the nest at her aunt's home in her garden. She put a shell to her ear and remembered going to the beach in the train long, long ago, and how hot she was in those high button boots. She touched the metal and talked sadly of the brother she had loved, who had gone to war and never came home. She smiled at the puppet on strings and remembered the one she had shown her little sister and how she had laughed with a mouthful of cereal. She bounced the baseball to Wilford Gordon and she remembered the day she had met him and all the secrets they had shared. And the two of them smiled and smiled because Miss Nancy's memory had come back, been found again by a small boy with a big heart and an even bigger name. A parable by Mim Fox. From time immemorial, I suppose, people have tried to find ways to help their memory. How do you remember things? How do you remember? How's your memory? Signposts along the way, totems by Native Americans, diaries and journals with dates to help you remember, hikers and hunters who leave marks along the trail so that they will remember the way back. I found that the best way to remember is to program the word remember. For if you program the word forget, very likely you're going to forget. Now, I found this out in the narthex, and I don't know if they left it here on purpose, but I imagine they said, I don't want to forget that, and they did. If they get home and they need it, they're not going to have it. I want to remember my umbrella, not I don't want to forget it. You program the word remember. One of the growing concerns is the fear of losing our memory. And we're being taught all things that we can do. Learn a new language, do puzzles, eat the right foods, watch your diet. And the great challenge is to find some way of, in medicine to help us counteract and be diagnosed early enough that we don't lose our memory. Challenges also face families in the church and how to minister to aging family members and to a growing number of Alzheimer patients. I read that 1 out of 4 who are over 85 will have Alzheimer's or are in the beginning stages. And by 2050, which won't affect any of us, that would be 2 out of 4 if we don't find medical resources. In Jewish scriptures, there are several places where they're told to remember. Remember. We've just heard 3 of them. Well, 2 in Jewish scriptures. Remember the Sabbath, because God rested on the Sabbath, last day of creation. But then we get to Deuteronomy, remember the Sabbath because you were once slaves. Remember, you're free now. But if we went to Leviticus, we would also see that it says, remember the Sabbath because it's the right thing to do. We need signposts along the way to help us remember. We need people around us who will help heal bad memories. And I think we need to be active in creating good memories. On the first Sunday of the month, how many different denominations have the meal that we have today? I grew up in a church, you only had it twice a year. World Communion Sunday in October and then Maundy Thursday. If we had it more often, it would be just boring. It would be something that didn't mean anything. It's the same with the Lord's Prayer. You didn't say the Lord's Prayer every Sunday because it just get to be rote. Well, that's up to each of us to decide that, I think. We know that in the Catholic Church and in a growing number of Protestant churches, they're having communion every Sunday. I heard the story of one Alzheimer patient whose family had just given up on her, seldom visited, but when a new priest came to town, he went to see her and offered her communion. She immediately responded because she had had that meal every Sunday for maybe the whole time of her life. She remembered, and it brought back her memory, and she could enter into the liturgy for that few moments. She remembered this living memorial that's gone on for nearly 2,000 years. I read the story of an Alzheimer's patient. It was on the TV maybe a year ago. He was in the wing, and he was cantankerous. He yelled all the time. He was not very easy to be a nurse to. But a young student from Toronto University was there part-time, and he decided he would try to reach out to the man, and he looked in his file and discovered he had been a concert pianist, but he had been a very good piano player. So the intern young man went to his son and said, could you find a keyboard? And he did, brought it in, and the old man looked at it and touched a few notes. Touched a few more. And within 2 minutes, he was playing some of those songs that he had played long ago. And then they found out that there were 2 or 3 other men in the community that used to play with him. And they invited them in, and they would play together. I don't know, they didn't say if he was remembering anything else, but he remembered his music. And it changed his life in those last few years. In these last few. He's still living as far as I know. Communion. Remembering the life, the teachings, the person who showed a new face of what God is like, who acted out a demonstration of the reign of God. And each time we eat bread and each time we take the cup, it is indelibly imprinted on our minds. like Wilford Gordon MacDonald Partridge's gifts. Warm egg, a seashell, an army medal, a puppet on a string, or a baseball. Something tangible helped to bring back her memory. Like music, it brought back a memory. One of the ways to minister people with Alzheimer's or the beginning stages is do not ask questions. That is so frustrating. They can't go back. But if you know anything about their life, to show them pictures, to give them something to see, to be touched or to hear, it can be instrumental in helping to bring back a memory. We don't ask questions. We just love them and share what they already know. Help them to be a rich person in their healthy days. Let it be so.